Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Socialistic Approach podcast. This is your host, Sharon, and today I have the lovely Eileen and Allie with us today. How are you guys doing?
Thank you for having us. I'm great. I'm fantastic.
Happy to be here with you.
So I, in my heart, I always say they're the joy experts, and what a perfect fit for this podcast that's all about how we come together as a community to not only heal, but also grow, hold each other accountable, and continue learning. So I would like to take a moment to introduce who Eileen and Allie are. Allison Baldwin and Eileen Minnick are co-founders of the Cess Zone in St. Petersburg, Florida. We here call it St. Pete. Based life design practice. They're self-proclaimed creators of the good life and offer life-changing practices for happier, joyful living with a focus on personal health. As joy coaches, they guide others in mood hacking life, ensuring all aspects are aligned with joyful living, and they infuse pure essential oils into protocols for leveling up emotional and physical well-being. They have ignited their own big life changes, trailblazing new careers, launching award-winning businesses, and manifesting what they call an insanely positive life where they play resident love experts. I love that. Because as they say, if you're not in love with your own life, how can you give the best of yourself to others? See, this is why I call you guys the joy experts.
Thank you. I'll take that title and I'll keep it. My life.
So you guys were one of the first women that I met here in St. Petersburg, Florida. I want to say St. Pete, but we have a nationwide audience. So we're located in Florida in the U.S., and in this lovely city that was named one of the happiest cities in the U.S., which is in St. Petersburg, Florida, near Tampa, for those who are like, where? And they have been such great support. And I always love meeting other coaches like yourself that we can always collaborate and bounce off ideas, because ultimately we share one thing in common, which is we want to help other people. And we want to see them thrive. We want to see them become their very best self. And you can't do that without joy and understanding what that process is. But there's so many aspects of what that journey looks like. So, you know, what do you think is one thing the world needs in creating more joy and healing?
Wow, that is particularly right about now in the history of the planet. That is a very big question.
And a very good question.
That's an excellent question. And I think I'll turn it around a little bit. And because we have talked about it personally and also with clients, it really needs to be an inside job. Because with the velocity of information coming in, positive and negative, it's really difficult to, impossible to assume that you could manage that. And so the best we feel we can do and others can do is to really focus inward and stay really aware and close to what you can manage. Because that's where it really starts. There's no light switch to go from a place of struggle to pure joy. It is a process. And so I think that process begins by detaching somewhat, not being unaware and flip about what's happening on the planet and with people, but it's essential to really start from within so that you can do some work before you can begin moving the meter.
Yeah. And you said it's impossible to go from perhaps where you might be, whether it's hopeless, anxious, depressed, and you can't get right to joy, but you can get to the next best feeling. And so we often try to explore that with people and ourselves. I mean, we're not immune from what's going on the planet.
Right.
And really this is, you know, my parents, they woke up and had their own stressors, and my kids have stressors. We all have, no matter what time it is in our history, there's going to be something to think about and something to worry about. So what becomes important is moving up that scale and having the skills and the understanding of what to do next if I'm feeling hopeless.
Yeah, I think what comes to mind for me when I'm hearing that is this concept of things having to look a certain way or having to look whatever version of perfection we have in here, whatever that idea it is. And how about we not make it look perfect, but more so experience life in a joyful way where perfection is just out of the equation and more so the experience. And with that experience, you're going to have a colorful, a lot of colors in it. And some of those are going to be really great. And I think changing the mindset is a process of acceptance and, you know, understanding that some things are just not going to go away with a magic eraser and that you can still find yourself in that and you can still find joy. And like you said, get to that next step.
Yeah, I was literally minutes ago before we came on just texting with a client who is just really rather stressed out right now and is getting a little bit lost in her thoughts. And so I wanted to remind her that it's just a thought and you have to be able to separate yourself from the thought. You know, just because we have a thought in this brain doesn't mean it's true. And so if you get if you have that thought that you keep replaying, and we do, of the 60 to 70,000 thoughts that we have a day, 80% of them are thoughts that we had yesterday and the day before. And many of those thoughts are stressful, negative or stressful. And so I wanted to remind her that when you have that thought, it's just a thought. And actually to say, that is just a thought. It's not true. And so that little helpful hint might just be, doesn't mean she's going to be joyful. She's going to experience joy. But if she can take that 1 minute and remove herself from that negative, stressful thought that has her in a cycle, that's one step closer to the next best feeling.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that also comes to mind is sometimes the more we try to control a certain thought, or like a certain image that may be coming up also that can bring negativity, the more the brain wants to explore that and the more you keep having these cycles. So the acceptance of just letting it be and not letting it be more than what it is or a definition of you or where you're at sometimes mm-hmm. could be part of that healing process of suddenly you're not thinking about that anymore. Sometimes right. We just got to let our neurons and everything that's happening in our minds do what it knows to do and not add more to it. Focus on, again, what are the things that can bring me closer to that thing that I want to achieve?
Right.
And have
right.
an intention behind it as well. So one of the things that you and I were talking about, Eileen, is you guys use a specific blueprint. So how do you use your personal blueprint to help individuals and professionals?
Great question. I'll jump in. Mm-hmm. We take people through a process once we've engaged to find out, how to curate this road to joy. And so one of the exercises that we do is we have them think long and hard, and we do it together about the pillars of their life. And people don't wake up every morning, stretch, you know, and think about their pillars. And when we say pillars of life, we're talking about those guideposts that are value-based. Like we all have a health pillar, and whether we take care of ourselves or not, you know, that's to be determined because we rate ourselves inside the pillar. But there's health, there's finance/business. Okay, so the wealth pillar, or lack thereof. There's the spiritual. There's the social pillar. There might be the
cultural
pillar. There might be the family pillar.
And they're different for everyone. And that's these are some of them. Certainly are for us. But the early work that we do with people is to define those, and it's based in their values and where, you know, what brings them joy. So we really spend a lot of time there looking at what those pillars are for them.
That's so important because in a way, I also use pillars, communication, relationship, right? Professional goals. And sometimes I even just say, what stands out the most, right? If we can't work on all of them, what in those areas are like five goals or three goals that are calling for growth in your life? And then values, we undermine values, I think, to this day. We talk about them. The first time I discover the value of values was when I was dating, actually. I kept running into people that just were not aligned, were not going where I was heading. And I was having a really difficult time feeling like I could engage in the dating world. And one of the things that just slapped me right across the forehead was like, well, these people don't even meet your values.
Right.
And so I remember saying, okay, what are those? And I started digging into my own values. Well, these are my values that are based on the character that I want to carry into the world. And so therefore I need someone that's at the very least aligned with those. If honesty is not part of their top 10, at least, or top five, that's going to be a problem. If communication is not part of their top like 5 to 10, that's going to be a problem. And so that was my first initiation of using values as a way to not only measure who I wanted to become, but also who I wanted to be around.
Sure.
And I do think that played a big part in me marrying Jason because he, the first thing that I identifying him was, oh, like it was like seeing a picture. I was like, he is aligned with these values. He is that person I made like a list about. You know, a few years ago that I was not recently dating because I was away from my values. Right. So when I work with people, it's really important for us to almost use our values as a way of measuring success, measuring decisions. So is that aligned with your values? Because if it isn't, like, it's going to blow in some way. You know what I mean? You're going to come into a crashing wall at some point because it's away from who you are and who you're being called to be.
Absolutely.
So I find that so important.
So if I can just back up a second. Number one, I haven't been on a dating app in ever.
Good to know.
There's a business opportunity, right? We are to create some kind of special app that when you go onto your dating app, you can take the old values assessment. But anyway.
Oh, that's sexy.
And that's another topic. I want to say though that these pillars are not the actual blueprint. It's the base of the blueprint. So once we identify the pillars, because most of the people that we work with mostly are entrepreneurs. So when we sit down with somebody, most of their time, and we were this way, and it's easy to fall back into it, 90% of their day, 90% or more of their time is all spent on the financial and business pillar. And so therefore, whatever the other pillars are to be determined, they are neglecting them. So how could you possibly get to joy if you're only focused on the money part?
Now that seems very simple, if I may jump in.
You may jump.
But people have, you know, they come forward looking for some guidance because of something. And it's usually because they're dissatisfied with some place in their life or they're blocked or whatever. And it might be that they don't have enough time with their family or they haven't had enough time to take care of themselves or do things that they love to do. But sometimes it's just, you know, you need somebody to just guide you just a tiny bit to show you, yeah, there's a reason why you're missing out on that. It's because all of these other areas of your life you're not paying attention to because you're focused so much over here, just on the work part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, we're all trained to do, right? You work hard, get ahead, you make money, take care of your family, you're responsible. But those other areas suffer.
Yeah. At what cost?
Right. And so those, our work then really begins once we define that in looking at actionable ways that people can move forward, filling those areas.
Realistic.
Those together. Yeah, I use the example for myself. I was frustrated I wasn't reading enough. And I blamed work and I blamed everything else and I blamed anything I could. And I was always frustrated. I love to read, so I'm not reading. The reality is, if I sit down and read a chapter, it fills that hole that I had in me. I don't need to read a book all at once. I don't need to read a dozen books. I just need to pick up a book and read a little bit. And it's that way for a lot of things for people. They can do little things that move them.
And we went through the process ourselves. We put ourselves through the blueprint 3 or 4 times a year. Our living room with hundreds of flip chart and hundreds of posties, all different color post-it notes, all different colors. And we figure out what's missing. What do we want more of? What are we collecting? How is it costing us physically, emotionally? And the reading and golf came up. She hadn't played golf in 8 years. And it was a passion and a hobby and something that was so important to her. So when we took a look at ourselves, the way we look at other people, we put our own blueprint together and decided to create a life that went beyond the business pillar, because we were, as entrepreneurs who met at work, you know, I could wake up, grab a coffee and say, I have a great idea. Let's talk about an idea. And it's like, hold the ideas. Mm-hmm. We're in a business relationship, we're in a life relationship, and we could easily fill 99% of our time, I could maybe, with work stuff. And so I had to be reminded of how to, like, okay, let's look at our blueprint, what's important, and create some new habits. So it's all about.
Absolutely. Like, there's so many things that were running through my mind. Because I can relate. I'm married also to a business owner. So a lot of people speak on boundaries that are external. Work on your poorest boundaries and, you know, learn how to say no. But sometimes we're not learning how to also have self boundaries. Mm-hmm. And we think that we're navigating the world with great boundaries, but we're not realizing that the way we rationalize and excuse our own habits, those are also in need of some boundaries. So sometimes that's where the work of boundaries need to happen. Mm-hmm. And as someone, again, married to someone where we share aspects of our business, it definitely has been brought up. It's something that we're currently working on, because everything just, and I saw my parents do that as pastors. Mm-hmm. All they would do sometimes is talk about church. And we were just like in the backseat of the car, like, can we get a break from this, right? And here I am, whatever years later, kind of doing the same thing, you know? Absolutely. So it got to the point where we were just at any given point talking about the business, and Jason's very good at saying, hey babe, you know, let's do this instead. I'm like, okay, I'm becoming self-aware. But I think something really important that you guys were saying is that if that individual is focused on just one aspect and they're just like laser focused on that they're missing so many opportunities and things that are happening in their life. And I always say this, this is why I don't call myself a career counselor. I don't work with you on the tedious stuff of like a resume. I work on the calling. I work on you as a whole, your whole self-development, to really get connected to what you want to make out of your career or your business. And so you have to take the entire person. And that means that lately, many of my even intro calls, there's tears. There is like all this like evolution happening right in front, you know, of this meeting. And it's because people are ready to embark and let go of these things that are just like blinding them from like where life is really taking them. And it's really not only honorable, humbling to experience, but really interesting to me to see that there's a shift happening, and we as coaches get to be a part of that, but we have to take the person as a whole.
Sharon, I'm very inspired by you. I'm always inspired. I call them the butterflies, the profound butterflies that fly out of her mouth. Back in the day, would we not have hired her on the spot?
Absolutely.
We would have hired you on the spot to head up our employment area. Because instead of just checking resumes and doing the rote stuff, we love to ask the question. And I know you might not use these words, but when we meet people, if we're recruiting or helping somebody from a career transition perspective, it's like, are they doing what they are genetically wired to do? Because that's the key. If you're not in your sweet spot, if you are not doing what you're genetically wired to do, ain't no joy.
Yeah.
And I love your thought process around that. I think it's beautiful.
I spent a lot of time in the corporate world talking with people that worked in the company about, you know, what it was that they really loved, what they were doing when they were at their best. And oftentimes it wasn't the position that they had. But out of fear, out of not real fearful to look that deeply, because you need a paycheck, right? People need income to take care of their family and their bills and their kids and savings and all of those things. And it's a reality. So people are hesitant to stop and look. But we've worked with people throughout our careers who've had a moment of realization when they're not in their best livelihood. And it's profound, it's beautiful, scary, but exciting and absolutely doable. And that's when I'm most excited, when that door opens and people see that light, that something is possible. Important for me to have that as a part of the work that we do.
I mean, there's a big difference from what will people pay you for and what are you passionate about? Because you might be getting paid for something, but you have no desire. You're just kind of waking up and going, you know, going on automatic to work. It's really an intense and inspiring process to be working with somebody from a coaching perspective. And guiding them, it's so personal and intimate and rewarding.
Absolutely. Confidentiality is a big policy of mine because of that. And I say that up front, you are entrusting me with all aspects of your life. And we get to put it all on the table because they all, in a way, are related to where you're heading. So super, super important and powerful to just be an extension of that person's journey in that way. And just to see people shifting. You know, I had someone, she wasn't a client, but we were just chatting and she was saying, oh, I have a career coach and I love what you guys do. And I was like, cool, we're like, this career thing, I thought, you know, wasn't as abundant and it's becoming more abundant. I'm hearing that there's other people doing similar work to what I do. And she was saying, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, what I'm really good at doesn't pay very well. And I said, let me guess, based on the 10 minutes that I spent here with you, one of your strengths and where you feel the most in your element is human connection. And she said, yes. And I said, so is mine. And I'm a coach. So don't undermine. If anything, the world is in need of people who have the ability to connect other people. We need it everywhere. And there is there is a dismay in the corporate world right now where people don't believe that things may change. But there are innovators and people who are recreating the system in the corporate field and who are creating businesses where their employees are a part of it and they have a different voice. So the opportunities are there. We just need to work a little bit hard in seeking them. But I always say nothing's ever possible because thinking that way held me back from this process myself. You know, I talk from a place of experience. I was feeling dreadful. I was feeling depressed. I was going through my worst mental health crisis all while I had like a promotion that happened. That took me into like a new level of leadership that I'm very grateful about, but I was caving on a personal level. And I was trying to heal, but I was struggling because I was stuck to something that was not aligned with me anymore. Industry, everything. And I knew I was being called to something greater. Even the life coaching thing came up for me a few years ago and I undermined it. I was like, I don't know about a life coach. What is that? Like, you know, I went back to school for psychology and I was like, I know I don't want to be a therapist. And then I remember writing like 3 to 4 years ago, I said, I'm going to help people find their calling because I was going through a course and a journey of finding my own. And I was like, I know I'm called to help people. So I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I am going to make steps to be prepared to do it. Meaning that I get a degree that's around helping people. I get, you know, trained around things that are around helping people. I am just going to carry these experiences and knowledges in my own mental health journey. So I'm in, put in a position where I have the availability to help people in those things that are in my element. So no matter where life takes me, these things are coming with me. And that's how I started viewing my calling rather than viewing a career. And I knew that that could change. And then 3 to 4 years later, I am helping people find their calling.
Absolutely.
So talk about manifesting, right?
You took the words out of my mouth. You called the shots. You knew you are doing what you are genetically wired to do. It's obvious. I don't need to be on the other side in a, you know, in a coaching situation with you. I hear I can hear your heart. And so you are definitely in your right livelihood. And I think we are too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, if my job is to help you find your happiness and find your joy, then I have to be living that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's we're practitioners, right? We practice.
Absolutely.
It's not a final destination. You know that.
It's an ongoing trip.
Ongoing everyday commitment to being aware and present and focused.
We're on a trip.
Yeah.
That's really all we've got. Is right now. And so life happens and we get caught up in things, and silly little things don't seem so silly in the moment and throw us off. And we have to, fortunately, we have each other, you know, to kind of catch us. If we're both going down the rabbit hole at the same time, it's a whole other story, but that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen often, but it's a daily thing.
Yes. Yes, we're all on a trip. And yeah, I have to agree. You guys are definitely within your element. And like you can tell that's you're passionate. You know it. You've lived it. And something really important, Eileen, that I think you both said it, is that, you know, you're experiencing it and it almost holds you accountable to also try to live in this way. And a lot of people that are really talented are waiting to reach like this level of experience or perfection in order to put it into practice. And I'm like, you don't understand, the practice actually is what helps you grow in it. Right. So it's like, just put yourself out there where you're at.
Right, right. And so if you're waiting for perfection, right? Because it's like, I'll be happy when I lose the 30 pounds. I'll be happy when I get to six figures. I'll be happy when we can live at the beach in the house, right? And then so your happiness set point, if you will, is based on something that's happening out there. And research has shown that when you do win the lottery, okay, and you're excited and your happiness meter is going up, in about a year you're back to hovering around your set point. So we're always putting this cause in that this I have to get someplace else before I can be happy. And I mean, you can read about it, it just doesn't stay that way. So you have to work every day and you can work on different strategies to really keep that set point in going forward, going in the up direction toward happiness.
Going back to the pillars, how important and how often would you guys say someone should revisit those?
Good question.
I think those, not frequently at all. I think those, if you do a really honest, authentic job of identifying them, they probably won't shift that much. And they're not things that necessarily can shift that much. I mean, if having a rich spiritual life
is important.
Is
today.
Important to them. It's probably going to remain important. These are the things that are really at the base. And, you know, people get mixed up. I used to get mixed up to mission, vision, you know, different terms for different parts of, or strategies, different terms with different meanings. Those pillars are really at the very core of you. What's important. And so the other stuff is the stuff to do. Those things change.
Yeah.
Those are the things we have folks revisit, we revisit. We revisit probably more than most.
I would say once or twice a year you could revisit, especially if you're an entrepreneur or in the heart of work life.
It's a it's a self-performance appraisal. I was the head of HR for
retail
people, I should say, because I don't like the term human resources, but for years, and the appraisal process drove me crazy. I think it's important for us to do that appraisal for ourselves. I think it's important to do it a couple of times a year, because not necessarily on those buckets or those pillars or whatever you want to call them, those areas of your key areas of your life, but on what you said you were going to do to move forward, to make sure that you're honoring them. So if having a rich cultural life is important to you, and you said you were going to get season tickets to the local theater company, did you do it? Just mm-hmm. to go back and check.
Or did you even buy tickets to one show? And that's that's what we pull for. We help them with all of those tips and strategies and steps that they're going to take. It's not just identifying the pillars. It's filling the pillars with those things that bring you a sense of happiness and joy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That fulfillment, contentment. It doesn't have to be I'm going to the theater. It might just be something, I want to just read more. I want to walk downtown and walk into the museums for free. I want to take advantage of all the opportunities in my city. And we'll dig with people until they come up with things that they truly love and miss, those things right. that bring them fulfillment. So I think those are the things that you check back in on to
Absolutely.
Say, did yes. you? And we have found that those people who list things start manifesting. They don't just have to buy, they start manifesting.
Yeah, that's the first mm-hmm. process. First process really in manifesting is defining. So having that vision, right? And a lot of it is for people perspective. So I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do all these things, but I don't have time. And it's very real. I've got kids, I've got a job, I've got dinner to make, I've got pets, I've got parents, I've got whatever it is. I've got So, we will work with or have, refer people to work with someone who can really look at what they're working on that's taking all of that time to really determine if it's necessary or not. Because a lot of the things mm-hmm. that we do aren't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of work that, corporations do all the time to look at how to be efficient, but we don't always look at that for ourselves. Our own personal corporation.
And I think this is a very American also mindset. We're workaholics, and it becomes in a way one of those, what I would say, core beliefs, toxic core beliefs, that we have to be this way. And even this is why I think even when we get out of the corporate world into entrepreneurship or solopreneurship, we're still carrying that no, but I have to have it like this, and it needs to be prioritized like this. And you're like, I'm building my own little jail cell of that corporate mindset within my own business right now.
Right.
And we did this because there was a sense of freedom clearly that we wanted to achieve, and expansion that we wanted to achieve. But I do believe that is met in the small things, and that was so relatable to me, because sometimes the process of navigating through these journeys are not about these big goals. Sometimes it's your schedule, sis. Sometimes your schedule is literally getting in the way. It's one block to get, maybe 3-5 steps closer to where you want to head. And you don't want to face that schedule. I literally had someone say to me, you know what? I avoid doing my schedule because I feel inadequate. I feel like I always fail at doing it. And so I avoid it. And that's the real reason why I've been living without a schedule. And that was deep. Because we work on where is that inadequacy and that feeling of motivation coming from on a more deep level. And then what are the things that can help combat those things? What are the things that do motivate you about it? How have you managed situations where you feel inadequate before? And all of a sudden they're like, I could do this. I couldn't use these tools. Now they're more like up here, right? Like,
right.
So really interesting that it's in the small steps, really.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So something that I know you guys are really passionate about is the science behind a lot of this process. So what role does science play when we're working around joy?
That's a great question. We both inhaled. Mm-hmm. I know. I think I know what you want to talk about. So you could start, but I also want to talk. You go.
Go ahead. I'll prove you know what I was thinking about.
You were talking. No. You're going to talk about
it's a big question. It's an important question. It plays large in a lot of areas, from the wiring in your brain for your thoughts, which
that's what I think down.
Eileen's gonna, you know, she's taking a note, so I think she's gonna want to go on that route. One of the things that we work with people, with everyone, is, and we start there, is to focus on someone's well-being. And
because how can you get to joy if you don't feel good?
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so we really spend some time there asking, you know, how people are, how they're feeling.
What's in the way of that happiness?
What's staying in the way? Mm-hmm. They might have come to talk about their relationship or their work, and you know, we're talking about back pain, but it's really important that we can talk about that and get somebody at in a neutral place to begin mm-hmm. with. And so we have been for some time working with essential oils. We're essential oil certified practitioners. And with regard to joy, one is to work with people with protocols that have anything that might be standing in the way of their joy, whether it has to do with stress management, sleep management, pain management,
nutrition,
you know, the basics of us. With regard to joy itself, if someone is struggling, the essential oils can play a huge role with science in assisting in helping to reset that point, that happiness point, the joy meter or joy point that you have talked about. The chemistry of the essential oils that come from plants, right? And plants have a chemistry to them, and that chemistry plays with our bodies, our brains. Our bodies are super smart and know exactly what to do with essential oils when presented with them. And so there are certain essential oils that will actually release hormones in your brain. So
like dopamine, like oxytocin, like serotonin, endorphins. Mm-hmm. These are what you want more of. These are the happy hormones. And other essential oils can help reduce the stress hormone of cortisol. And so, you know, for those people who think that they just smell good, there is a real science to working with pure, certified, pure, grade essential oils.
You know, it depends on the individual. If somebody's in a place where they are struggling and need to be able to get to a neutral place before they can even think about anything else, the essential oils really can help the process, mm-hmm. because it can allow you the space to free up, to think, to kind of take you out of your agony or take you out of your stress point in order to be able to think and have a different perspective. You kind of have mm-hmm. to start there.
Yeah, that's super important. As someone who was diagnosed with panic attack disorder and decided to go the natural route to treat it, I got to a point where, like, I don't care if I smell like a bush of lavender. Like, as long as I feel calm right now, I will soak in it.
Yeah.
Because I needed to find something to regulate me while I was doing the work of bettering this area in my life, my mental health longer term. But the essential oils were like that initial hey, I can bring you this ease and this calm. I use the essential oils that you guys offer, and I still use some of them even at night. My blood pressure is, I'm a little bit stressed. My blood pressure is a little up, a couple of little, you know, breaths in, and suddenly I'm like, I take my blood pressure again. It's more elevated. I'm more elevated. I've done it before sleeping. So there's a real important benefit out of this. And it's been really, really essential in my life.
That's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. I'm always happy to hear when somebody has relief from pure oils. And, you know, in the beginning of our call, Allie mentioned what's going on the planet. Again, there's always going to be something you know, even just looking at the last few years, the on the coattails of COVID, you know, isolation, there are people who are still struggling. You know, suicide rates are not decreasing this year. They're increasing this year, especially women in the between the ages of 40 and 65, men also. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on the planet, you know, from politics to, you know, climate change to whatever, it all trickles down to us. And so it's like, do you have anything for climate change? Yeah. I mean, do I have an oil for climate change? I wish, but, and then we talk about everything that's affecting people and what's getting in the way of their joy, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And so if we can find, get to the root, you know, some people come and they're like, they're not sleeping. And do you mm-hmm. have any sleep? Well, of course we have a beautiful line of sleep products, but we will never just quickly give somebody a sleep product or sell them a sleep product until we really dig in and understand, as would you, what's in the way, what's going on. And then we suddenly find out, and let's say, for example, in one case, that a woman's husband lost his job after, you know, was let go after COVID. The son moved back from college, and now in a very small home, the kid is living with them. There's a financial burden all around them. So it's suddenly not just, I can't sleep. There's a whole lot of stress. And so we do, as advocates of health, not just joy coaches, but as advocates of health, we dig in and really get to the health side
and get to the core and the root of the issue, not just the you know, the topical, yeah, if you will, solution.
And then once somebody can breathe a little bit, then they can, because nobody wants to talk about pillars. What, you know, if they're in pain, if they're not sleeping, I mean, it's critical right now.
Yeah.
Or they're stressed out. And so so we like to, you know, really assess and make sure that we're looking at the whole person. You know, we don't mm-hmm. sell happiness, but we do, you know, it's about healthy emotional well-being, spiritual well-being, physical well-being.
Yes. What a mindful thing for you guys to offer as coaches. Again, talk about taking the entire person and every single aspect of who they are.
Thank you.
Because it matters. It definitely matters. What would you like our audience to walk away with today? With everything that we talked about, joy, pillars, essential oils, what would be a great just highlight for them to really walk away with that could initiate maybe a journey of joy in their own life?
You got something?
No, go ahead. Well, I really do. I can feel you over there, ready to go.
It's the inhale. Well, I think the first, it's really just a question, because it is, you know, and how happy am I? You know, what it or what is in the way? Because most people have something.
Mm-hmm.
We're busy women, busy men. You know, we're especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're running the company, you're CEO, you're the head of marketing, you're doing your own Canva, you're doing your own printing. You know, you don't have an assistant. Most people don't have a virtual assistant or any assistant, right? I miss my staff. I have no one to delegate to except her. All right. So if given the fact that most people have a lot going on, you know, how happy am I on a scale of 1 to 10? If I, you know, like, where am I on the spectrum? Because just identifying and being aware of where you are opens the door to,
why?
You know, like
the why
and,
of it.
And why? What's in the way? You know, and make a list. You know, in the way of my joy. So we always say, you know, we're going to talk to you about filling your joy bucket. And people will say, joy bucket? I didn't know I had to have a joy bucket. Well, you don't have to have a joy bucket, but your life's going to be a lot more beautiful with one. So, and we do that in our coaching, and we do that at our retreats, and we help people to refill their joy bucket. But until they really know, like, okay, where am I on a scale of 1 to 10? Yeah, it's a little survey. So I would start there. And
I will, I'm not sure when your podcast is going to air, Sharon, but given that it is the season, I think I would add the thought of time, because it's the end of the year, and we've been trained, you know, whether it's a corporate setting or it's because we have a business or whatever it is, we're kind of trained to be on this calendar, and end of year comes and there are all these requirements, we think. Things that have to be done, year-end finances. We have fourth quarter projects we need to finish up.
You gotta wrap
all of these things that we have to wrap up by the end of the year. The holidays are coming. There's a big fat to-do list with that. Gifts to buy.
Go, go, go.
Cards to do. Just a huge list. And I guess I would ask people to sit back for a second and take a big, deep breath and realize that the rest of the world, the plants, the animal kingdom, hibernate right about now. And humans, we've been, you know, this is sometimes like a pressure cooker sometimes that we've placed on ourselves. And you can step back from it a little bit and give yourself a break.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to, I used to tell people when I had a large team that worked with me, nothing is going to break. Nothing's going to break. You can really,
except you.
You can really fix, as long as nobody gets hurt and you're healthy, everything can get fixed. Time really is kind of a artificial construct, if you will, because you can figure anything out. So I would just ask people to not just go with the flow, but to stop and ask, do I really need to do this? Do I really want to do this?
We are celebrating the season of separation, which I'm going to be talking about. I know I'll see you Tuesday night. Sharon is on a panel that I've created about this very topic, about how the life of an entrepreneur at year end, how does one go into the season of separation, even if you're in the hustle, even if you're in the hustle and you're ready and you haven't stopped and you're not going to stop. Okay. If you decided not to stop, what can you do? What ways are you willing to at least work with your own energetics so that you can maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind and a healthy soul? Because the mind, body, and the soul are screaming for a sane departure from 2023. The body knows, circadian, you know, it knows it's coming to an end of a cycle, and we don't treat it that way. So I'm very excited to have you on that panel.
I am so excited, and I'm excited for this podcast that is, I think, launching, you know, in a month that we really need to hear this message. You know, and speaking about the panel, it's around true self-care, and that means a lot of things. You know, it's okay to go get that facial. It's okay to go and, you know, bench a couple hours on Netflix if you need to. But, you know, it might be that you need to revisit the gym, that you need to start walking again. And those things don't always feel good. And I think we need to separate the feeling good all the time with what is truly the care of myself. Like, what does that really look like? And if I'm not in ultimate health, and I do have a say and a control over that by incorporating these habits, then those habits sometimes are not going to feel great, but they are part of my self-care routine. And so I think prioritizing and changing our mindset and how we view the care of ourselves, and like something even Ali was saying about the schedule, and if we were to find time off also just as a need as this one task that we have to do for work or for a client, et cetera, that's where we start creating balance. And I think that's one of the biggest highlights for me having this conversation is these things, time off, time to rest, time for joy, like time to fill those areas in your cup are just as important, if not more important, that what we're prioritizing, what society is telling us to prioritize, what our entrepreneurship lifestyle is telling us to prioritize, because we're it. We're right. It. Like you said, only we can break. You know, I don't know where these.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I think Zoom just knew. Like,
but the timing was perfect. You have like
the timing was perfect.
Reward system there. You say something profound and the fireworks.
Even Zoom is like, go girl.
That was very cool. You know, sometimes it's just giving yourself permission to say no and be okay with it and not carry any guilt around it or any doubt. Should I, shouldn't I have, but to really, I mean, that's to me, the most beautiful aspect of self-care. And people think about self-care as the spa and the massage and the, all of those things. But how you think about things is self-care.
How you breathe is self-care, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you have an unlimited amount of time really to take care of yourself. Even just stopping your thinking is taking a bad thought from entering is and redirecting it. And we show people mm-hmm. how to do that, you know, is self-care. So I it's just a beautiful topic. And you're a beautiful soul, my friend.
same with both of you. This has been so enjoyable. I'm so honored to have you both here. You guys have so much to give. And like I mentioned before, we're all working like in a body to help other people. And we all have like a role to play. And I'm just glad to be part of this with you guys, that we're out here trying to help people be in their best element and feel the very best way so that they can walk life that way too.
Absolutely.
What will be the best way that our audience can reach you, contact you, find you?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, go ahead.
So we are on Instagram. It's at the Zest Zone. You can also find us on Instagram at the Motivated Mocktail. We didn't get into this, but I'm dabbling with mocktails and essential oils. But at the Zest Zone is really the best place to find us. You can direct message us there. That's great.
Yes, awesome. It has been an honor having you guys again. And we thank our audience for being part of this beautiful journey that the Socialistic Approach podcast is trying to bring to all its listeners. The information will be in the caption, in the description below, so that you have access to these two beautiful people. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.